This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Tim Winter with us on the program. Tim is president of the Parents Television Council, or the PTC, a nonpartisan media watchdog and education organization. Recently, the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, handed down the maximum fine to a CBS affiliate in Virginia for violating a broadcast decency law. We're going to be talking to Tim about that FCC ruling, why it matters, and what the FCC is doing and not doing about indecent content on broadcast television. Tim, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you with us again.
Oh, thank you so much. Good day from Los Angeles, and it's just a pleasure to be with Family Policy Matters.
Well, thank you, Tim. It's great to have you on the show, and I'd really want to just jump right in and ask you if you would tell us more about the FCC's recent ruling against the CBS affiliate in Virginia. First, what did they air during the newscast that prompted a complaint? And then, if you would, talk a little bit about the FCC's response.
Yep. What happened, this is now a couple of years ago, a local television news station in Roanoke, Virginia, a CBS television station affiliate, aired during their newscast a story about a woman who had recently become part of their, I think it was an EMT, emergency response staff, but her previously, before doing that, she was a performer in pornographic films. And as part of the news story, I guess they felt it was important to talk about that, they showed a website, a picture from a website, which included very graphic, explicit pornographic images. And they edited that into the news story, into the broadcast that went out over the public airwaves at early times of the day. I think it was around a 6 p.m. news show. So at a time when children are likely to be in the viewing audience, the TV station edited into a story a picture of a website, a pornographic website. So that's what aired. And what the FCC did, understand that the FCC does not actually watch television broadcasts around the country. They wait for a member of the public to complain. If the member of the public believes that the broadcast indecency law has been violated, it's up to the public to complain to the FCC. Once there's a complaint, the FCC will then look into the complaint. That's exactly what happened here. Viewers complained about the broadcast to the FCC. They investigated, and they determined that the law had been broken.
Well, I think it's important on a number of levels for our listeners to understand that the public airwaves over which broadcast television and radio is aired, they belong to the public, and it is a privilege for CBS, ABC, the other networks, and radio stations to use those public airwaves. Can you talk about that for a minute with us, Tim, and sort of help us understand why we all have an interest in this?
Yeah, and if listeners can maybe use as an analogy, the air that we breathe, you know, it's the air that we breathe, it's the public's air. And the airwaves through which these broadcast signals travel cross public property. And in order to broadcast, television stations, radio stations, even, you know, cell phone companies and so forth, everybody who uses the bandwidth of the public airwaves has to get a broadcast license, and they secure that license from the FCC. The FCC serves as the public entity to grant broadcast licenses to broadcasters. And what's interesting is that broadcasters are required to use the public airwaves in the public interest. The public interest is the legal standard. And so as part of the public interest obligation of a broadcaster, Congress has mandated, and the FCC is supposed to enforce, broadcast decency rules during the times of day when children are likely to be in the audience. And statutorily, that means from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. So from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., broadcasters cannot air legally indecent material. And there's a definition for that, and I won't go into that. But so broadcasters, in exchange for using the publicly owned airwaves for free to make, you know, billions and billions of dollars. As a matter of fact, the public airwaves have been valued at $500 billion.
Wow.
So corporations are allowed to use for free the public airwaves, and in exchange for using them, they promise to serve the public interest. One of the public interest obligations is not to be indecent. Now, that's different from cable or satellite or subscription services or the internet, which require a subscription service. The rules do not apply to cable or satellite or internet. It's only over the air. broadcast, television, broadcast, radio, and so forth. So that's a very narrow part of all of our communications is reserved for times of the day when children are likely to be there, no indecency. And that's, you know, I think a wonderful thing that families and children should be able to count on, that the government is going to enforce that law.
But we do, as you said, we do have a responsibility to play a part in that and to report indecent content when it airs, especially during those times when children may be watching. Now, in this particular instance with the CBS affiliate in Virginia, the FCC did fine that station for airing indecent content during primetime hours. Tell us more about the FCC's response and how much was the station fined?
Yeah, this is a very important part of the whole story here. The FCC reviewed the facts of the case and levied the maximum possible statutory fine by law, which is $325,000 per station. The fine maximum used to be $32,500. It was, you know, for a major television network, $32,000 is a rounding error on their coffee budget. I mean, it really is, you know, peanuts for those guys. But several years ago, after the famous or infamous Janet Jackson Super Bowl halftime performance where she shed her top, the Congress acted and the president signed into law a bill that increased the fines to $325,000 would be the maximum amount. Now, the FCC can look at the certain facts of a case and say, well, okay, did they violate the law? Yes, no. If they violated the law, what is the appropriate fine given the extent of the violation? So what's important here is that the FCC said, we believe that this is so egregious that they're airing, it's not even just a, you know, a television show with questionable content. This was a pornographic website appeared on broadcast television. So they levied the maximum possible fine of $325,000. It's important for us to establish a boundary that says thus far and no farther, and then from there we can work from our position of advocacy to fight for more enforcement of other situations, other broadcasts that perhaps were not as explicit pornographically as this, but still violated the indecency law.
Well, Tim, how often do we see the FCC take this kind of action to issue fines of this nature, particularly fines that hit that maximum level of $325,000?
This is the first time that we've ever seen a fine to that extent, the full $325,000. And the last time we saw any fine for any broadcaster who violated the indecency law, it's been 7 or 8 years since the last enforcement action. So it's wonderful to see the FCC doing its job to enforce the law. And what's also wonderful to see is the FCC, which is comprised of 3 Democrats and 2 Republicans, ruled unanimously, 5-0. The bipartisan agreement and support for this law, they ruled unanimously 5-0 that this was indeed a violation of the law.
Well, Tim, is it fair to say that the FCC's action over the past several years in enforcing broadcast indecency laws is at least part of the reason why we seem to be seeing more and more objectionable material on broadcast television?
Well, what a great question. I got to tell you, think of this in a traffic law sense. If there's a speed limit out on the highway and the law is never, ever, ever enforced, what happens? Well, you know, people who are law-abiding will always abide by the law, and those who have disregard for the law will absolutely disregard it continuously. And if they know that the law is not going to be upheld, they're going to go as dangerously fast. We have had no indecency action until this last, you know, several days. No indecency action for several years. During that period of time, the broadcasters, the TV networks, you know, the Hollywood community feels that they could act or without any consequence of being held accountable. So they pushed the envelope. They shredded the envelope. Some of the content that appeared in the last couple of years, I can't even describe to you for fear of offending your listeners, but it aired during times of the day when children are likely to be watching, and the FCC has to now step forward and adjudicate those other complaints that still are backlogged at the FCC.
Now, taking a step back, some people may wonder why the broadcast decency laws still matter with so much offensive content that's being put forth on both cable and multi-channel services. Why does it matter what happens on broadcast TV, and how important are these laws, particularly to families and children?
Well, they're becoming more and more important as Americans are so-called, what they call cutting the cord from some of the cable and satellite subscription services. More Americans now are relying on over-the-air free public broadcasts than in recent years. It's especially skewed toward families who don't have the financial means to pay a big cable bill every month. It is especially true for families of color, where they are relying more and more on broadcast airwaves as opposed to cable and satellite subscription services. And when you look at something like a cable or satellite subscription or internet subscription, there's so much filth on the internet. And it's one of those double-edged swords. There are so many blessings on the internet. We're able to communicate with people instantaneously around the world, wherever they might be. But the bad side is that people can use that same distribution service and communication service platform for negative and evil things. What our Constitution allows is, you know, First Amendment free speech rights. And the courts have interpreted free speech rights to include some very offensive things. So there is no legal jurisdiction over cable, satellite, or internet, or video game, or cell phone indecency. The one place where families can go and know legally that they can gather together and not be faced with indecent material is the public airwaves from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. That's it. That's the only place. So that's why this is so important. We need to have a place, especially a publicly owned place, the public airwaves, where we know we can gather together and watch, listen, and not have the threat of indecent material hitting our children or even ourselves. Who, you know, when we, it's not just children who are you know, we're concerned about. Families as well are very concerned about the negative impacts of the entertainment culture that affects them in so many ways.
Well, Tim, when parents and children do confront indecent material on broadcast television or radio, what would you suggest to them? What should they do to take action to encourage the FCC to take action and hopefully to, on a more regular basis, impose fines like the ones that they did against this station in Virginia for airing indecent content?
Well, the Family Policy Matters listeners, if they've heard my voice before, they might be getting tired of hearing me say this same thing. The worst possible thing is to do nothing. By doing nothing, it's an acclamation to Hollywood, to the broadcasters, that everything is okay. If you feel that the broadcast decency law has been violated, it's easy to do, but you absolutely must take action. You can contact the Parents Television Council here. You can contact the FCC directly on its website or pick up the phone and call the FCC. You can write a short letter to your congressman or congresswoman and say that you're concerned about the indecent material on television. I got to tell you, the folks in Congress keep track of every letter, and when they hear those letters coming in, if there's enough of them, they will pick up the phone and call the FCC and say, "Hey, you guys are supposed to be monitoring this. Make sure you're doing your job." It's amazing what just a few voices at the right place in the right time can do. It was only a few voices in Roanoke that complained to the FCC about this broadcast, and what this broadcast potentially can do is set the entire industry on notice that the fines are severe for violating the law. Just a few small efforts on the part of the public can truly make a huge difference.
Well, and we promote that same message over and over again with respect to folks working with members of the General Assembly, members of Congress. There are not a lot of people that are ultimately going to get involved and take action. And so those that do can have a significant impact. And we just want to encourage listeners to take action if they do see something that is indecent on broadcast television, or if they hear something indecent on the radio. Do take those steps that Tim mentioned. Contact the FCC, contact the Parents Television Council, and make your voice heard. Now, Tim, please let us know how our listeners can learn more about the Parents Television Council.
Oh, please come to our website. It's a wealth of information and activism and grassroots action. It's a wonderful resource. It's parentstv.org. Let's take a stand for a more decent, more responsible entertainment media landscape.
Absolutely. Well, Tim Winter, with that, we are out of time, but I want to thank you so much for being with us again on Family Policy Matters, for your important and great work at the Parents Television Council, and really for looking out for our interests as we seek to be involved and to be salt and light in our culture.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with Family Policy Matters, and I will send my very best wishes to everyone there in your listening area in the beautiful, beautiful state of North Carolina.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.